heal our broken hearts. Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
And welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we have a conversation about faith and how to integrate our faith into all the areas of our lives. On this show, we share testimonies and faith journeys intended to encourage you if you're already a believer and challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So that's what we do on this show. We share the Word and we pray that it touches your heart today. We like to start the show with some scripture reading. I have a montage, if you will. I have four today because they've been rattling around in my brain all week. Some of our dedicated listeners will recognize these. Some of our friends who study the Bible will fully get these. But I'm going to start with Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. This is concerning Joseph's life in the Old Testament. It goes like this. But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people's lives. That verse was instrumental. Last week, we had John Stacy on the program, and he shared with us how challenging it was to survive the passing of his son unexpectedly, a young man in his 20s, and how this verse has really been nutrients to John as he's gone through the grieving period. What the enemy meant for bad, God will use for good. Next verse. Again, our listeners will know this one. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. I'm going to read it again. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Now I'm going to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. I was on this verse a few weeks ago. I haven't moved off of it. It goes like this. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I'm going to read that last part again. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And lastly, I literally just grabbed this verse an hour ago. It's from the Old Testament, Psalm 119, which is a favorite of mine. This is Psalm 119, 111. So you really kind of have to dig into scripture to get this. But oh, what a precious one this is. It says, your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. That's our scripture reading today. We're going to talk about some of that on the program and much more. I want to let you know we have all our podcasts loaded on iTunes, and we also have a website. It's everydayfaithradio.com. You can hit the website and go back and listen to some of the previous shows, and there's some videos and other good stuff on there. Please let us know if we can pray for you, as we'd love to pray for you. If you have any prayer requests, visit our website. Just let us know. This is Everyday Faith. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with today's guest. Please stay with us.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program, back with us, is my good friend and prayer warrior, Joan Hutter. Joan, had you on the program before. I've had your husband on the program. We've had many of your friends and colleagues on the show, and it's always just a joy to have you back on the show.
Thank you, Jeff. It's great to be here again. I feel honored to be in your space.
Well, you have so much going on. I watch and see how busy you are, and God is working through you. That is for sure. And there is a light about you that is awesome, and the presence of God is all about you. So tell us and our listeners what you've been up to, because, my goodness, you have a busy life.
Well, I think it's just a full life.
Yeah.
It's really blessed. I just came from a great meeting of just a bunch of women getting together and praying. We meet on Friday mornings with Women Abide, and we were just seeking the Lord for His vision for our life, and just trying to, you know, see, get a vision of His glory so that we could walk it out. Mm. And we're having a conference next weekend. It's called Heart Alive, and it's about, the subtitle is Encountering Jesus for Revival and Love. We're going to be talking about fearless love, walking out. What does it look like? What does love look like in our everyday life? And how do you walk out? People are praying for revival all over the earth and all over the nation. There's going to be a great wave of revival. But what does it look like today? What does it look like the next minute, the next 10 minutes? And how do you walk it out? And it's when we encounter Jesus and the love of God that we are completely changed, and we can walk the way He walks, which is all love all the time. And He is, He's going to come next weekend, and we're going to welcome His presence. So we want everybody to come, all the women to come. It's for all denominations. And it's at Connect Church. We're meeting there this time. We have two beautiful speakers. One is from Jackson, Mississippi. Her name is Amy Lancaster, and she and her family said, "Yes, Lord, we will go," from Isaiah chapter 6. "We will go anywhere, Jesus." And they thought they would go to the ends of the earth with the gospel, but He called them to inner city Jackson, Mississippi, to live on the darkest street, the toughest street. And they did. They bought an abandoned drug house, and they moved with their family. And since then, they've bought a YMCA. But they're really, the Lord is really working in revival, but it's not without suffering and persecution. The other speaker that we have invited is Jennifer Miskoff. She has her doctorate in revival history. She has written many books, and we're excited that she's going to do a writing workshop with us on November 9th. So November 9 and 10 is that weekend, and we are so blessed to have these ladies coming, and we want everybody to come in the room and just get touched by God and live a life that's full of love and power.
Mm, tell us again the location. Connect Church is where is that?
Next it's over by Elmore High School.
Elmore High
yes.
School. Hydraulic Road.
Yeah, and if you go online, womenabide.com, you can see all the details and register.
Let me ask you for a second, and this is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host, and Joan Hutter is our guest again on the show. The title of your program, Women Abide. Tell us about that word abide, and why the word abide, what that means to you, and why did you choose that word?
Well, that's a great question. I love John 15. I love the Gospel of John. It's always just been so precious to my heart from the moment I opened it up. And I was asking the Lord about the first gathering we had, which was 7 years ago when we started gathering women. And I just had that word, abide. You know, abide. If you abide with me, and I love the word because you can translate it, if you dwell with me, if you live with me, if you walk with me, tabernacle with me, shelter, come into my house, come into my shelter, just be, exist with me, live with me. Mm-hmm. And the Lord Jesus was telling the people, just draw everything you need from me. Just, I will be your covering. Just draw it all. I am the vine, you are the branches. It's from that beautiful chapter, John 15. That is so amazing. That word just dropped into my heart, and I brought it home, and I asked my husband, Chauncey, what do you think about this? Abide. And he said, make it women abide. So
I love
it would be for women.
I love it.
To abide in Jesus.
Do you mind if I have a go at one of the verses from John 15 that has abide in it?
Go for it.
This is from John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide, these are Jesus's words, by the way. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. abide being the key word. That's why when I heard your ministry, Women Abide, I was like, oh my goodness.
It's so amazing.
It's so deep and a game changer. Now let me go to another question that I have. For some of our listeners, that the word encounter and encountering Jesus, mm-hmm. perhaps that is some faraway notion, something that they've maybe never pondered, certainly never experienced. How would you describe encountering Jesus, or how would one go about encountering Jesus? Of course, you and I have both had that experience, but I'm just wondering if you can try to put words to that.
That's a great question. If you just have an experience and you're growing to know Jesus, he's a living person. Jesus is a person. And for me to know him, I need to spend time with him. So as I spend time with him, I grow to understand who he is. It's a relational word. It's a relationship. I'm telling you, you have one moment with the living Lord Jesus and everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that walking with him, if we abide in him and he abides in us, you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory, we wake up to who he is, all of his nature, all of his character, and we're walking with him. You know, the disciples said, "Were not our hearts burning as I walked along the road with him?" He showed me everything in the scripture. So I've opened the word of God and I read it, and he highlights words. That's how they leap off the page sometimes. Jesus is real. And, you know, Jeff, I went on two mission trips this summer, and one, there was this woman on the road, and she just kind of approached us and my little group, and she just said, "Do you have the time?" And I said, "Yes, it's a little after 6. And she said immediately, "Do you have 6 pence? And then I realized my eyes were open. I encountered her suddenly. I just suddenly saw her. She was broken. She had her mascara was smeared down her face. Her hair was everywhere. She hardly was wearing anything. She was homeless and broken. And you could smell the alcohol. She was completely a broken woman. And all I could say in that moment was, "Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive." And she said, "Well, I need to know him. I want to know who this is. I want everything in my life to change." And right there in that moment, I got to just share who he was. And she received him in that moment. And that was in England, on the streets of England. And it was just amazing to be there. But I encountered her. I saw her. My eyes were open to her. Mm. When I heard her voice and her invitation to give. But he is calling. He has a voice, and he's inviting us to know him. And then he opens our eyes, and suddenly he's everything we ever dreamed, but he's much more.
You know, Joan, I love that story, and you are one certainly such a time as this, built for that moment, to introduce others to the love of Jesus and the presence of Jesus. For me, the encounter, and our listeners have heard me talk about this, but the encounter for me began with a challenge from my friend Chris Poe, who's been on this show, and it was a challenge to memorize a certain amount of Bible verses. And what ends up happened to me sort of in reverse. The scriptures never really had all that meaning until they started to kind of dwell inside of me. And then all of a sudden I realized that word abide, that it started the scripture. So the word starts to abide in me because I'm memorizing it and I'm trying to meet this challenge that my friend has challenged me to memorize these verses.
So good.
And all of a sudden what you learn in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, is that Jesus is the Word made flesh. And so all of a sudden the Word abides, and now Jesus is abiding. And then through that, there's a certain, when you start to really encounter Jesus through reading the scripture, reading the Bible, there's a certain flow that begins. There's this rhythm that starts to happen. There's this calling, this come back, I have more. And so you just end up, for me, getting pulled deeper and deeper into the scripture. And that ends up being pulled deeper and deeper into a relationship with Jesus. And for me, that was the explosion of abide and encounter in it. And I'll never forget my friend Chris Poe for challenging me to memorize Bible verses. But that, for me, that was the big game changer.
And that still is the Word of God inside of us as we're reading. And some, for some people, it's hard to get into it at first. But when you practice that presence, practice His presence by opening the Word and just eating the Word, just soaking it and reading it is like eating it, like consuming it, and it starts to live in you. I love to practice writing the Word. I'm writing the Gospel of John right now. And as I write each day, that word that I've written in the morning always comes back later in the day. And it's just living. So there's a scripture that says the Word of God is living and active. It's stronger than any two-edged sword. And it can divide soul and spirit and bone and marrow. And it is really goes down into the deepest places of us.
We're going to take a break. But as we sign off, I want to go back to Psalm 119, because the psalmist, King David, in Psalm 119 is such a precious chapter in the Bible, lengthy but incredibly rich. He writes this that has had so much meaning for me. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, I have written your word on my heart so that I might not sin against you. And so sometimes I picture myself as I'm memorizing and going through some of spending time with God's word. The inner man is up there painting the word of God on my heart. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more of our interview with Joan Hutter. Please stay with us.
And in your hour of desperation, no, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program is my good friend and prayer warrior, Joan Hutter. Joan, I want to double back and see if we can talk a little bit about some of my favorite verses that we mentioned earlier in the program. Let's start with Genesis 50:20. We might not get through all of them, but Genesis 50:20, Romans 8:28. Genesis 50:20, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about at as it is this day, to save many people's lives. That, of course, is from the story of Joseph's life in the Old Testament. Talk to me, Joan Hutter, if you would. Does anything just kind of come top of mind to you about Genesis 50:20? Anything in your own life, anything outside of your life that you've seen or witnessed or anything? What kind of comes top of mind to you on Genesis 50:20?
I'm just getting a flash of Joseph's forgiveness. Mm. You know, he always kept his heart toward the Lord. He was always walking in prayer. He never really complained. Everything seemed to go wrong. He kept getting put in the pit, put in the prison, accused. He was sold off as a slave. But each time he was a righteous man, he rose and he rose again, you know, each time. And he became almost like a savior to a nation, in the sense of he had the wisdom of God for the moment in the end, mm-hmm. but he released forgiveness over his brothers. He did not let that hinder his walk with God. Mm-hmm. He forgave. And it was an amazing thing. They did not even recognize him when he did that. But he came back and he said, I release you. I forgive you. I'm your brother. And I love how that is. They would then come and be fed at his table.
Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for, correct me if I'm wrong, but if it wasn't for the life of Joseph, at least as the way it played out in the story of his life, if it wasn't for him going through these hardships, being sold as a slave off into Egypt, rising up into power, again, he gets falsely accused, thrown into jail, but through the wisdom of God, he becomes a dream interpreter. And then as a result of that, he gets put as, the number two ranking official in all of Egypt. And as a result of that, he receives more revelation from God that it's time to save up for the famine that's coming. And my punchline is, as a result of that, he saves a nation because the Israelites are all, they're starving. And so they have to come to Egypt.
The Lord's destiny could not be thwarted.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what happened to Joseph, he fixed his eyes on his God and he worshiped God in every situation. And the destiny for his life came forth,
mm-hmm.
the destiny that he would save a nation. And I want to go back to that whole idea of the forgiveness. He forgave the ones who injured him in the beginning. They got in the way,
mm-hmm.
his brothers. They were jealous. But releasing people frees you. You know, Joseph was a free man, even though he was in prison, mm-hmm. even though things happened to him. He was free, and God's destiny could really roll in through his life to bless a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And he cut the cords that he could have been bound by. He could have been inhibited. He could have not lived out his destiny if he had chosen bitterness and fear and anger and hatred toward his brothers. But he set them free. He cut the cord. He just said, I release you. And God really could move through him in a nation. His vision is so much bigger than
mm-hmm.
us. And we just think our little dream is our little dream. But when we begin to say, God, what is your vision for my life? What is your dream? It's huge, and we can align with that and then start letting things go so we can walk with him.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host, and we have Joan Hutter with us on the program. That was Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Please go visit with your Bibles today and write down that verse on an index card. The next one, we're talking about the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verses 28. Many of our Bible scholars that are tuning in know this verse. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Again, Joan, an incredible faith statement, because that doesn't mean all things will be easy for those who love God, or all those who love God, life will be trouble-free, or you're going to live in a big house with lots of fancy cars. It doesn't say that at all. But it says that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. What comes to mind to you for again, with Joan Hutter, our guest, what comes to mind, Romans 8:28? Anything flash to you on that?
It just seems that he is everything. And the things of this world can get our attention, and they can seem bright and shiny, and we can think that that's the best that we could ever have. But when they're gone, if that's all we have, we will have nothing.
Mm.
But when they are gone and we have Jesus, we have everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he is always about releasing his best in our life. He has a eternal perspective. His thoughts are higher than mine. And I could never dream or imagine as high as he thinks. But I love to just set my eyes on him and align my life with his heartbeat. He's about love the Lord God with all your heart, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And but if we lose everything and we have him, we have everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's good.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, I want to hit this other verse, Joan, and then I want to also talk about your program that you have coming up next weekend. But let's talk about 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. It says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I just like touching down on that because, again, here we are, somebody, we talked about the life of Joseph, the life of Paul, now we're into the life of Peter. Peter had been poured into by Jesus. Jesus said, Satan wants you, Peter, but I have prayed for you. And Peter didn't realize how awful his failure was going to be, deny Christ three times, and he was going to be a very broken man after the crucifixion of Jesus. We know the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus comes to Peter, and he pours back into him, and he reestablishes him, and he chooses Peter, the broken one, the most broken of all the disciples, chooses him to be the rock on whom he would build his church. And then Peter here in this verse is turning around and pouring into us and saying through by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he is encouraging us that after you have suffered a while, God, through Christ Jesus, is going to perfect you. He's going to establish you. He's going to strengthen and settle you. And I just have the question for any of our listeners. Have you ever felt unsettled? Have you ever felt like you are not established? Have you ever felt weak? Are you looking for perfection in the wrong places? My friends, and I know my good friend Joan Hutter on the program would agree, that Jesus is the answer, and he's waiting for you. He's calling for you to just come and abide with him. Joan Hutter, any thoughts on that verse?
Abide with him. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. You know, everything fades except for the surpassing glory of knowing him. Mm. Everything else fades.
Mm. Joan, thank you so much for being on the program. Again, could you give us one more plug for your program next weekend, the Women Abide Conference at the Connect Church on Hydraulic Road? Is it Friday and Saturday?
It's Friday and Saturday. womenabide.com, and go to the conference tab and you can register and read everything about it. We have two amazing dynamic speakers coming, loads of worship, and this is called Heart Alive. We want to have our hearts alive, all women from all denominations and walks of life.
If you are listening to this program right now and you are interested in attending, but maybe you're just a little bit hesitant, I just encourage you to come to this program next Friday or Saturday. Ask for Joan Hutter. She is as nice as she sounds on this program. She will welcome you in, get you situated, and it will be a transformational weekend. Joan, thanks for being on the show. To you, your family, and all our listeners, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. Thanks for joining us. See you all next weekend.
Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need